Hello to the people in Overflow. I can see you. That is awesome. I like that. Have you ever gotten a call and your world changed just like that? If we've lived for any length of time, we've gotten those calls. If you've been a parent for very long, you fear those calls probably. But I want to talk today about finding God in your devastation. When those calls happen, because they're going to come, they're going to happen, how do you find God? And I think there's a great passage in Psalm 63 that teaches us how to find God. And so David is in a very significant time in his life when he's writing this psalm. He's got news that his son is out to get him. His son wants to steal his throne. His son wants to take his territory. His son wants to take his job. And David is fleeing from his son. David has left his city to flee because he does not want to fight his son. He has no place to go. He has no place in mind where he's heading. He's just fleeing his circumstance. And in that moment, when we get those phone calls and we get those notices and we get the news that something has happened, somebody has died, some tragedy has taken place, our situation comes crashing down all around us. And in some times, our life is now a shamble. David's son, who is chasing him, who is getting him out of the city, had taken advantage of his half-sister. David has a son who was murdered by this son. David's son is out to kill him. And David has gotten the news. And it hits, and there's a chain of reactions that happened. For David, it started many years ago when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, and he looked out and he saw something he shouldn't have seen, and he pursued it, and it caused a lot of consequences in his life. When life happens and we're devastated, where do we go? Do you think we can find any satisfaction in God at that moment? I think you could turn to Job. In the first chapter of Job, we read it in Sunday school today. The first chapter of Job has everything taken from him. Everything except his wife. I never understood that, but okay. His kids die, all 10 of them. His livestock is gone. His servants are gone. And he gets news after news after news. It says, while that person was still there, the next person comes in and says, hey, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And it's news after news after news. And Job got up, shaved his head, tore his cloak, and worshiped God. Can I tell you, that's not how I normally deal with tragedy in my life, worshiping God? David found something that he could get satisfaction in just the situation that he's facing. And I think that that's what I want to walk through today in Psalm 63. And here's what it says. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in my shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. Father God, help us to understand this passage. God, give me the words to speak. Let not be my words, but your words. Remove me from this message so that those that are hearing hear you. And God, may you be glorified in everything that happens. And God, I pray right now that if there's one here that their life has just fallen apart, that they would seek you. If there's one here today that doesn't know you that they're as their Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. And God, we pray that you would move among us, that we would have open hearts to receive this message and allow the Holy Spirit to convict where conviction's needed, that we'd be changed more into the image of a holy and righteous God. His name we pray. Amen. So we all go through devastating times. That's the first point. You're going to go through devastating times, okay? It's going to happen. There's no way in your world that it's not going to fall apart sometimes. It's going to happen. And the background to this psalm is very tragic. He's writing this psalm and he's fleeing from his son Absalom, who's seeking to kill him and take over his kingdom. I've never faced that, but I've had some times when my world fell apart. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba years ago, he opened up a door for his sin to ravage his family, and it did. His one son took advantage of his half-sister, Tamar, and Absalom, in revenge, kills Amnon. For years, David had banished him, had removed him from the situation, but he refused to forgive him or to speak to him. And now Absalom has gathered some strength and some armies, and he's out to kill his father, to kill the king, and to take over his kingdom. And David flees for his life, not knowing if he's going to lose everything or if even he's going to live. And so David describes his devastation in this time, in this period. In verses 1 and 2, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land. There is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." You see, David is thirsty for God. There's a deep longing in his soul. There's an aching. He is hurting. He's crying. His own son wants to kill him. His own son wants to take over his kingdom. And like a man stranded in the desert, dying of thirst, David's thirst is for God. Not only does he thirst for God, but he yearns for God. He longs. There's a deep longing in his soul for the God that he knows that has protected him, that he knows that has gotten him through stuff before, that he knows personally. Even though his world's falling apart, he's fleeing as a fugitive for his own life. And he says, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. I long for you." David is spiritually dry and weary. You ever been there? Perhaps you're there now. As David looks out this dry and barren wasteland that he's fleeing into, this desolate, dry Judean wilderness, he thinks, "That's what my soul is like." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so dry that you're like, "God, where are you? My soul's so dry and hurting right now. God, I'm dying here. My soul's dry. And so I thirst for you, God, but I'm not quenching the thirst. It's not happening. My prayers aren't going up high. I'm not receiving what you're trying to get to me. I don't understand, God." You ever been there? "I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm ready to quit." You ever been there? That's where David's at. Some of my most devastating times in my life have been when I've been most spiritually dry. And I wasn't prepared. Because what happens is that in my life, I'm just like the Israelites. I'm like, things are going good, things are going good, things are going good. And then I think, oh, things are going really good. And I just lose focus. I'm not focusing on God. I'm not prepared. And then, bam, my world falls apart. And I'm crying out to God. I'm trying to get back on track. Some of us in this room, in this community, in our area, are facing aging parents. That's tough. Some of us have already walked that part. I've already walked that part. I've already walked that path. And I tell people all the time, God blessed me in the death of my parents. You say, Brother Jim, how can you say that? Because my mom, from start to finish, when we knew she was sick to when she walked the pearly gates, was 4 weeks. My dad, I got a call at 7:30 in the morning, and by 11:30 I knew he wasn't going to make it. That's 4 hours. That's a blessing to me. You know why? Because I didn't have to walk years of going through treatments. I didn't have to walk years of going through where they don't know who they are. I didn't have to walk that. But some of us do. That's tough. That's hard. Where's God in all that? Do we think God is not there? Sometimes. Sometimes we feel like our prayers aren't going anywhere. They're not being answered. They're not being answered the way we think they need to be answered. David is devastated. He's lonely. He's longing. He's for a sense of God. God, I just want to feel your presence. You ever been there? We all experience times of devastation. And hopefully, no one here has experienced what David is experienced here. Yet, we all experience some measure of devastation in our life. The death of a loved one, a parent, a spouse, a child. The breakup of a marriage or a home. The loss of a job. Our health, we find out that we've got to face a battle that we never thought we would. A child's making bad decisions. All of this can leave us devastated. And we, like David, will find ourselves in a spiritual, dry, and weary land, devastated, longing for God's presence and God's peace. But David found satisfaction for his soul in his devastation. And here's the good news, so can we. You see, we can only gain this satisfaction through focusing on God. And in verses 5 and 6, it says, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. We've got to take our eyes off the circumstance, off the situation, and focus in on God. David's satisfaction came when he took time to focus on God. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. He uses those words, remember and meditate, to describe focusing in on God, zeroing in on God. We'd probably think of the words ponder, mull over something. Let me study on that for a while, maybe. When we're talking or thinking about God, spending time pondering God, concentrating on God, no matter what words you use, it's the same thing. You're focused on God and not the situation. Our eyes have got to go from here to here. Because when we're all here, man, we're trying to solve everything. We're trying to fix everything. I'm a fixer. I want to fix it. I want to solve it. I want to do all the things. But then when I get here, I realize I can't do it. But God, you can. Where's your focus in your times of devastation? David focused on God during the night. Have you ever noticed that in your times of devastation, everything seems worse at night? You get the phone calls at night. Those nights in the hospitals are long. Because you don't get any sleep, because every 15 minutes you got a bell or beep or whistle, or someone's coming in to take vitals, or someone's coming in to take blood, or someone. It's a long, weary night. Seems like the pain is worse at night. Our emotional pain and our problems seem worse at night. How many of us have not been able to go to sleep because we've been worried too much about a situation or a problem? Or maybe we've just been so overwhelmed that we woke up in the middle of the night and we can't go back to sleep. Ever been there? Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're waiting for some biopsy results. And finally, you drift off to sleep. And you wake up in the morning, and it doesn't seem as bad as it was then, but it's still there. David took advantage of that time at night, in these nighttime moments, to focus in on God. He would turn his thoughts back to God. He would turn his thoughts from the devastation that's going on, the situation, and focus in on God. And when David focused in on God, he found satisfaction for his soul. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. David is drawing a comparison here between satisfaction that we feel when we've eaten a great meal and we're full and happy, to him being satisfied with God, satisfied in God. You ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry. Like, kids all the time, I'm starving. And I would say, no, you're not. You ate two meals today. But teenagers want to eat five or six. But you ever been really, really hungry? You finally sit down at a meal, and man, you eat, you're full, and Thanksgiving coming up. I like that because you can eat and eat and eat. You got good food. Sometimes there's good fellowship. It's just a good time. And I think that's what David had in mind here. He's full. When he's got that nourishment, and that's what he's saying, is he's finding that in God. His soul is satisfied. He's content. And it made him want to praise God. You have a great meal, what do? You praise the cook. Man, that was a great meal. Man, that steak was cooked just right. David praised God. So in walking through this psalm, we see that we all experience devastation, times of devastation, just like David did. We do. And even those times of devastation, we can find satisfaction of our soul, just like David did. We can. So what about God did David focus on? We can say, hey, take your eyes off your situation, focus on God. But what do you focus in on God? I think David shows us what to focus in here. Focus on what God has done for you. In verse 2, thus I've seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I've seen you. I've experienced your power. I've experienced your glory. He remembers the rich times he's had. This is the same guy that killed Goliath. He's had God work some crazy things in his life. He's enjoyed a close fellowship with God. He's seen God's power. He's seen God's glory. And can you imagine what it would have been like for David to defeat Goliath and have that in your testimony? And yet he's years later fleeing for his life. Sometimes we forget about what God's done in our past. And when our times of devastation, man, we need to look back to those things. Because we need to realize, hey, the same God that got me back there, that showed me his glory, showed me his power, is the same God that knows where I'm at right now. You need to focus on what God's done for you. The rich times you've had with him. How he poured his love over you. The difficulties he brought you through. Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a loss of a job or a death of a loved one. God was there for you. Focus on those times. The second thing is, God, focus on God's loving kindness in verse 3 and 4. Because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. In your name. David focused on God's covenant love. His loving kindness. God has entered this covenant with him. He's God's has a commitment to keep that covenant. God's lovingly and joyously has kept that covenant, and God is personally involved in his life. And that's better than the life that you live. He would not want to live this life without this relationship with God. And we've got to focus on the covenant that God has with us. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. He will not desert you. He's entered into this covenant with us in this relationship. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, no matter what happens in your life. We need to remember that. We need to focus on that. He's at work in your situation, even if you cannot see him or feel him. Focus on his loving kindness. And then focus on God as your help in verse 7. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. God to deliver David out of many situations that were dangerous. The lion, the bear, Saul throwing a spear at him multiple times. Saul sending men to his house to kill him. Being trapped on a mountain, and Saul's men were closing in on him. And suddenly they got word that the Philistines had attacked, and they leave David, and he escapes. And God and David ponders these times of God has helped him in this time when he needs God's help. And even though Absalom is out to kill him, he will get under God's wings and sing for joy. We've got to focus in on God being our help. Think about the times that God's been your help in your time of difficulty. God was your help then, and he'll be your help now. And you focus on God as your sustainer in verse 8. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. David held on to God for dear life, but it was God who was actually holding him. David knew his soul was prone to wander. He was tired. He was weary. He was wanting to give up and quit. He knew God. It was God who kept him faithful. He did all he could to hang on to God, but it was not on his dependence of his strength. And God needs you just to cling to him. He's got you through this times of devastation. Focus on God upholding you. Focus on God as your sustainer. He's the one that keeps you faithful. You may feel overwhelmed or weary or tired, ready to give up, but you may not think you can go on, and you keep going, but God will not let you go. He's not going to drop you. He's going to sustain you when you focus in on him. Focus on God as being the one who will uphold you in this time of devastation. And then 9 through 11, David focuses on God as his protector. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. David focused on God as his protector. God will protect his life and his reputation. In Psalms 46, David had penned this years later. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Now as Absalom seeking his life, he focuses in on this truth. God's his spiritual protector. I'm turning this over to you, God. I'm going to let you protect me. I'm going to let you protect my reputation. Hey, people can talk about you. People can spread stuff about you. Let God do the protecting. You may feel under great spiritual attack. Flee to God as your protector. Focus on him. He is our refuge. He's our mighty fortress. So you will face times of devastation in your life. I will face times of devastation in life. And when you do, you can find satisfaction for your soul when you focus on God. Maybe it's in the middle of the night. Maybe you get that phone call, but you need to get alone with God and ponder and remember who God is, the things he's done for you, his loving kindness towards you, that God is your helper, that God is your sustainer, that God is your protector. Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China in the 1800s. He knew what it was to experience devastation on the mission field. And one time in particular occurred right before the birth of his son. His wife got sick and was so sick that she would not survive the newborn son. And after only 1 week, the newborn son died. And so, let me back up. The wife is sick, and she gives birth to the son. And the son dies after 1 week because she can't nurse him. She can't sustain him. And she gets sicker and sicker. And within a few weeks after the son's death, the wife dies. So in a short time, this man who's serving God, this man who's on a mission field, this man who's reaching China for Christ, has lost his wife and his newborn son. And he wrote his mother, and he said this: God, and God only, knew what my dear wife was to me. He knew how the light of my eyes, he knew the joy of my heart were with her. And soon after that, Hudson Taylor got sick, and he was confined to his room, and he couldn't leave. And he writes this in his journal: how lonesome were the weary hours confined to my room. How I missed my dear wife and the voices of the children far away in England. Then I understood why the Lord has made the passage so real to me. Whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. 20 times a day, perhaps as I felt the heart thirsting coming back, I cried to him, Lord, you promised. You promised me that I shall never thirst. And whenever I called, day or by night, how quickly he came and satisfied my sorrowing heart. David found satisfaction for his soul during his devastation by focusing on God. Hudson Taylor found that same thing by focusing in on God. And you and I can do the same thing. We can find satisfaction for our souls by focusing in on God. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what news you've gotten this week or what you've been carrying for the last 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 3 years, 5 years. I don't know what it is, but God does. And I'm just here to tell you that according to God's word, his scripture, if you take your eyes off of the situation and you focus on God and you remember who he is, what the Bible says it is, he'll sustain you. And he'll give you that satisfaction. So doesn't mean the problem goes away, but it means he's right. You realize that he is right there with the problem. Let me pray. Father God, I've done my best to speak what you wanted me to speak. God, you know every individual in this building, every individual watching, and you know their circumstances. So Father God, I pray. I just feel in my heart that there's some people in here that need some satisfaction in their soul, that they're just hurting. God, may you use this time of decision to soothe their souls. Maybe as a family, we need to spend time at this altar and just praying. Maybe as a husband and a wife or a student who's seeking some answers to the questions that they have. God, you know every individual in here and where they stand in relationship with you. If there's one here today that would say, Brother Tim, I don't know about this Jesus. I'm not sure about this God you're talking about. Man, I'd love to talk to you. Whatever it is, let God be God and lead you deeper in a closer relationship. God, move among us. Give us the freedom to do what you call us to do in this time of decision. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.